This is Holiday Readings and Remembrances, a series of reflections on the season by members of the Northern Michigan University community and local and area residents. Today we'll hear from contingent NMU English professor and UP Poet Laureate Martin Ackets, reading his story, Feasts of the Holy Family.
Feasts of the Holy Family. I come from ham people, my wife from turkey people. Christmas Eve, the air in my childhood home steamed with the smell of ginger and smoked meat. When my mother opened the oven door, basted the ham with Werner's, I remember how it sat in the pan, its back studded with cloves, looking like some animal still alive, just hibernating in the hot cave of the stove. And as I nestled in bed, while other kids had visions of dancing sugar plums in their heads, I dreamt of the ham rooting around the presents under the tree, the way I once saw a porcupine root through a deadfall of pines for sweet, white tree flesh to eat. My wife, on the other hand, grew up in a family that flowered with onion and celery and sage on Christmas Day, the turkey dozing in the oven, the way great-grandma Cor napped on the couch during Lawrence Welk. The potatoes boiled on the burner fogged the windows with starch and the smell of earth, dark and loamy as the day they were dug up by a farmer with hands ridged, furrowed, and hard as winter fields. When dinner time came, the turkey emerged, skin brown and warm, ready to feed the 5,000. A gentleman to Ebenezer Scrooge, quote, "A few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We choose this time because it is a time, of all others, when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices." Unquote. Christmas of 2006, my daughter turned 6 years old, and my wife and I were separated. Most nights, after getting my daughter to fall asleep, I would sit in the living room in the dark, like Scrooge. Darkness was cheap, and I couldn't bring myself to turn on a lamp and shed any light on my life. I hadn't dragged the boxes down from the attic to set up the tree or decorate the house, hadn't taken my daughter around the neighborhood to see other homes dripping with icicle lights and candy cane paths. I preferred that year to edge my way along the crowded paths of Christmas, warning all human sympathy to keep its distance. 2 weeks before the holiday, my daughter and I were driving home from her ballet class. Her cheeks were flushed pink, her braids curled tight as cinnamon bread. She was humming some Christmas tune, Silent Night, I think. Finally, my daughter, from the seat behind me, said quietly, "Daddy, are we having Christmas this year?" In 1729, Jonathan Swift published a satiric essay in which he proposed the following solution to end overpopulation and hunger in his native Ireland. Quote, "I have been assured by a very knowing American of my acquaintance in London that a young, healthy child, well nursed, is at a year old a most delicious, nourishing, and wholesome food, whether stewed, roasted, baked, or boiled, and I make no doubt that it will equally serve in a fricassee or a ragout." Unquote. Swift died in 1745, just 4 years after an Irish famine killed around 20% of his country's population. The epitaph on his memorial stone in St. Patrick's Cathedral reads in part, quote, "Here lies the body of Jonathan Swift, where savage indignation can no longer lacerate his heart." Unquote. A quote from Mahatma Gandhi, "There are people in the world so hungry that God cannot appear to them except in the form of bread." Unquote. When I made my first communion in second grade, I was told by my catechism teacher, Mrs. McDonald, that I was about to participate in a great feast. "You're eating the body of Christ," she said, her eyes large and blue as jellyfish behind her horned-rimmed glasses. To prove her point, Mrs. McDonald told us about a monk from Lanciano, Italy, who doubted the Eucharist was the actual flesh of Christ. While celebrating Mass one day, the monk witnessed the host in his hands transformed into a disc of meat, and the wine in the chalice thickened into drops of blood. These specimens were preserved in a monstrance for 12 centuries. Mrs. McDonald stared at us all for several seconds in silence, as if she had just pulled a full ham or turkey dinner out of her wool hat. "You'll never be hungry again," she said. Years later, I read about this miracle once more. In 1970, a professor of anatomy was allowed to perform tests on the preserved relics from Lanciano. He determined that both specimens were human in origin. The blood type was AB with, quote, "the characteristics of a man who was born in the Middle Eastern region," unquote. And the piece of flesh was, quote, "consistent with that of myocardium, endocardium, the vagus nerve, and the left ventricle," unquote. It was a piece of broken heart. In 1675, Bishop François de Lavelle of Quebec added the Feast of the Holy Family to his diocesan calendar. Prior to this time, the Catholic Church had separate feast days for Mary and Joseph and their son. This feast, however, would celebrate all three together as a model for Christian parents and children. On October 26, 1921, Pope Benedict XV added this feast day to the Latin Rite General Calendar to be commemorated by all Catholics as a way to, quote, "counteract the breakdown of the family," unquote. Since 1969, the Feast of the Holy Family has been celebrated on the Sunday following Christmas. On this day as a child, I would sit in the church pew and listen to Monsignor Spelgatti speak about this wonderful feast of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. For 30, 40, or 45 minutes, he would list the virtues of each family member, working himself up to a heated conclusion about marriage and birth and sacrifice and the body of Christ. As I listened, I would imagine Mary and Joseph starving in Nazareth during a famine of biblical proportions. I imagined them eyeing their young son like a Christmas ham or turkey. Jesus, well-nursed and chubby, would make a wonderful fricassee or stew. They would place him in a pot, add root vegetables, cumin and turmeric, and they would put that pot over a fire to simmer. It would be their first communion. Quote, "The day hunger disappears, the world will see the greatest spiritual explosion humanity has ever seen," unquote. Federico Garcia Lorca. A person can live without oxygen for around 5 to 10 minutes, without water 3 to 8 days. Yet, people have been known to live for up to 70 days without food. As the body undergoes starvation, it begins to eat itself, breaking down fats and muscles. At the end, death usually comes from cardiac arrhythmia. The starving person dies of a broken heart. Hunger comes in many forms. At Christmas, I hunger for my mother's baked ham, even though she's 88 now and time has eaten away her memory of clove and ginger ale. My wife hungers for her mother's laugh, even though her mother's place at the dinner table has been empty for 26 years. addicts, hunger for Jim Beam or pills or cheap motel rooms. A man standing outside Walmart in December dusk holds up a sign that reads, "Haven't ate in 3 days, hungry." The holiday season my wife and I were separated, 25,000 people died from hunger on Christmas Day as I scooped mashed potatoes onto my daughter's plate. That same Christmas night, I hungered for the warmth of my wife's body as I climbed into my empty bed. When the ghost of Christmas present first appears to Scrooge, the ghost is seated on a cathedra that might have ended an Irish famine. Quote, "Heaped up upon the floor to form a kind of throne were turkeys, geese, game, poultry, brawn, great joints of meat, sucking pigs, long wreaths of sausages, mince pies, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts, cherry-cheeked apples, juicy oranges, luscious pears, immense twelfth cakes, and seething bowls of punch that made the chamber din with their delicious steam." Unquote. Yet, in the midst of all this plenty, there is want, hiding beneath the ghost's robes, clinging to his legs, hungry for scraps of ham and turkey bones. Quote, "For now I ask no more than the justice of eating." Unquote. Pablo Neruda. My wife and I worked things out following that dark December 25th in 2006. She came to me on the following Valentine's Day. I fed her a grilled turkey breast sandwich while we watched It's a Wonderful Life, because we hadn't watched it together on Christmas Eve the way we normally did. We talked about Christmases past and Christmases yet to come. I felt like George Bailey lassoing the moon, Bob Cratchit opening his front door to find a turkey larger than Tiny Tim on his doorstep. The ghost of Christmas present rebuking Scrooge after the Cratchit family's meager Christmas feast. Quote, "Will you decide what men shall live, what men shall die? It may be that in the sight of heaven you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child." Unquote. In 2007, the Feast of the Holy Family fell on December 30th. I stood in front of the creche at St. John's that evening, stared at Joseph and Mary, the donkey, cows, sheep, and the Christ child, a plate of gold behind his head, lying on a bed of hay in a trough, ready to feed the hungry world. Quote, "It seems to me we can never give up longing and wishing while we are thoroughly alive. There are certain things we feel to be beautiful and good, and we must hunger after them." Unquote. George Eliot. New Year's Eve 2007, my wife, daughter, and I stayed up until midnight. As the ball dropped in Times Square, we tumbled outside, sprayed each other with cans of silly string. We screamed Happy New Year as loud as we could until the neighbor's front porch light flicked on. Then I carried my daughter inside, kissed her forehead, put her to bed, sang to her, said prayers. In the first hours of that new year, I went to my wife, fell into her, kept falling. We devoured each other, ended the famine in our home. Quote, "Being unwanted, unloved, uncared for, forgotten by everybody, I think that is a much greater hunger, a much greater poverty than the person who has nothing to eat." Unquote. Mother Teresa. 9 months after that Feast of the Holy Family, that New Year's Eve, our son was born. Another hungry mouth in a hungry world of ham people, turkey people, feasts and famines. A world where one infant can feed multitudes of broken hearts. As I held my son to my chest, looked into his face, I felt hollowed out and filled up, hungry and satisfied, want keenly felt, abundance rejoicing.
Holiday Readings and Remembrances is a production of Public Radio 90, WNMU-FM, Marquette. If you'd like to hear today's feature again or share it with a friend, go to WNMUFM.org. I'm Kurt Hosworth. Happy Holidays.